All right, so today we're diving into a topic that's pretty crucial for understanding India today, and that's the rise of Hindu nationalism and how it's impacted politics, especially since the 1990s. We've got a lot to work with here, scholarly analyses, historical accounts, all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's definitely a complex story full of nuances and debate, but I think that really grasping this ideology is key to understanding a lot of the dynamics of modern India. It touches on national identity, electoral shifts, even really heated debates about history itself.
You're right. It is a lot to unpack. So maybe to sort of set the stage a bit, could you maybe give us a quick glimpse into the roots of Hindu nationalism before we hit the 1990s?
Well, you can't really talk about this movement without first mentioning organizations like the Hindu Mahasabha. They were active in the early 20th century and were really pushing for this distinct Hindu identity, and they saw that as the core of Indian nationalism. And I think a prime example of their ideology in action is their opposition to the 1916 Lucknow Pact.
Okay, the Lucknow Pact, that rings a bell, but could you refresh my memory a little on what that pact actually was?
Sure, yeah. The Lucknow Pact was essentially an agreement between the Indian National Congress and the Muslim League, and it granted separate electorates and weightage for Muslims in the legislative councils. But the Hindu Mahasabha was vehemently against this.
They were?
Yeah, they really were. They argued for a one-man, one-vote system because from their point of view, this would ensure a Hindu majority rule, which they saw as essential for, you know, what they considered true Indian nationalism.
So even back then, we see this tension kind of brewing, this push for Hindu dominance versus maybe a more inclusive vision of India. It's fascinating. But what do you think really propelled Hindu nationalism onto center stage in the 1990s?
Well, I think it was really a confluence of factors, the decline of the Congress Party, you know, that created this sort of political vacuum, and the BJP, which was championing this Hindu nationalist ideology, very skillfully stepped into that void. They really tapped into this wave of, you know, Hindu pride and positioned themselves as the protectors of Hindu interests.
And they used certain events, very specific events, to really galvanize that support, didn't they?
Absolutely. The destruction of the Babri Masjid Mosque in 1992 was a huge turning point. It became this rallying cry, you know, fueling this whole narrative of these historical wrongs that needed to be righted. And the BJP very strategically employed religious symbols and rhetoric. And it really resonated, I mean, powerfully of people who were seeking, I think, a strong unified identity, especially amidst, you know, such a rapidly changing world.
It's almost as if like a new compelling story was being written, and it really, really deeply resonated with a large segment of the population.
Yeah.
And I think that story led to some pretty significant electoral successes for the BJP, right? I mean, they've become a real dominant force in Indian politics.
Exactly right. And with that political clout, they've really been able to reshape the political landscape in some pretty major ways. Take, for example, the Citizenship Amendment Act or the CAA, which we see in our sources. This law essentially fast-tracked citizenship for non-Muslim refugees from neighboring countries, but it also sparked a ton of controversy and protests. And I think it's a very clear example of how this ideology, Hindu nationalism, is actually influencing the very fabric of Indian law and policy.
It really makes you think about what the implications are for the average Indian citizen, how these policy shifts are actually impacting their lives, their sense of belonging. And this is where things get really interesting, because we also see this political shift happening sort of intertwined with these intense debates about India's history.
Yeah, you're spot on. We're seeing Hindu nationalists challenging established historical narratives, offering all these alternative interpretations, often promoting what they see as, you know, this glorious Hindu past. And sometimes this even involves, you know, reinterpreting figures who have been traditionally viewed in a very different light.
Like Mahmud of Ghazni, right? He was mentioned in the sources.
Yes, exactly. So he was a ruler from Afghanistan back in the 11th century and was really known for these numerous raids into India. And, you know, for centuries, he's been depicted as this ruthless plunderer. But now you have some Hindu nationalists presenting him, believe it or not, as a defender of Hinduism, actually. They highlight instances where his actions might have been, you know, motivated by things like political or economic reasons rather than, you know, purely religious ones. And it's a reinterpretation, you know, needless to say, that sparked a huge amount of debate and controversy.
So history itself really becomes this, like, battleground for these competing narratives. Hmm. And it raises a huge question: whose version of the past actually gets to be told and who gets to decide? Which I think really leads us to this crucial question of unity versus division. Has this rise of Hindu nationalism actually brought Indians together, or has it maybe sown these seeds of discord?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, right? And honestly, it's not a simple one to answer. There are multiple perspectives at play here. On the one hand, you have some people who argue that this emphasis on Hindu identity is actually fostering a stronger sense of national unity. It's bringing people together, they say, under this shared cultural banner. But then on the other hand, you have others who contend that it's really marginalized minority groups, especially Muslims, and this is creating, these very real social and political tensions that ultimately undermine, this whole idea of India's pluralistic fabric. And to be honest, when you look at the implementation of policies like the CAA, there's a lot of evidence to support that concern.
It's such a complex and, evolving situation, and it seems like there are no easy answers here. And I think it makes me incredibly curious to delve deeper into how all of this has actually affected India's national identity. What does it really mean to be Indian in this era that's been so shaped by this rise of Hindu nationalism?
I think that is a question that every Indian citizen is grappling with, and it's definitely a question with real-world consequences. I mean, we see it playing out in the streets, we see it in the political arena, we see it in the hearts and minds of individuals. It's personal, it's emotional, and it's something that I think we really need to try to understand, to engage with it in a thoughtful and, informed manner.
Absolutely. And understanding, the historical context, these ideological currents, the political dynamics at play, all of that I think is really crucial for making any sense of what's happening in India today.
Exactly. And in our next segment, we're going to delve a bit deeper into how Hindu nationalism is actually manifesting in Indian society, its impact on education, cultural institutions, even social interactions. We'll explore how this ideology is shaping the lived experiences of real people. It's really fascinating, how this rise of Hindu nationalism is impacting more than just politics and history. I mean, it's really permeating this whole cultural fabric of India, reshaping education, the arts, even how people interact with each other.
Yeah, it's like this undercurrent that's shifting the very ground beneath our feet. So what would you say are some of the most tangible examples of this cultural impact?
Well, let's take education, for example. We're seeing a pretty concerted effort to revise textbooks, incorporating what some would argue is a more, Hindu-centric perspective. And while proponents, they claim that it's about correcting historical distortions, others view it as a much more, deliberate attempt to instill a particular ideology in young minds.
It's almost like, those debates that we talked about earlier about whose narrative of history actually gets to be told, but only this time it's being woven into the education system itself.
Precisely. And it really does extend beyond just the history textbooks, too. There's this big renewed emphasis on Sanskrit, the ancient language of Hindu scriptures. And we're also seeing a movement to promote these, traditional Hindu values and practices within educational institutions.
It's like this whole cultural revival movement that's kind of intertwined with this political agenda. But how is all of this playing out beyond the classroom? What are we seeing out in society?
Well, think about the arts. We're seeing a huge surge in films, music, literature, all celebrating Hindu themes and mythology, often infused with this very strong nationalist undercurrent. So this ideology is really finding its expression through all these various creative outlets, and it's shaping the cultural landscape in a big way.
So in a sense, you're saying that this ideology is being embedded into these cultural narratives that people are, consuming and engaging with. But then what does that really mean for individuals and their sense of identity?
That's where it gets really interesting, I think. This cultural shift can have a big impact on how people actually perceive themselves and how they interact with, those from different backgrounds. And this whole emphasis on, Hindu unity, it can in some cases lead to the othering of those who don't really fit that mold, particularly Muslims.
So while some people might feel this stronger sense of, belonging and national pride, others might actually feel increasingly marginalized and excluded.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's a double-edged sword, really. And it really plays out in everyday life, too. I mean, we see reports of this increased religious polarization, these tensions between communities, even incidents of violence that are fueled by the sense of us versus them.
It's a pretty sobering thought, I have to say. It seems like this whole rise of Hindu nationalism has really created a very complex and often contradictory reality for a lot of Indians. So how do we reconcile these competing narratives and experiences?
That's the challenge facing India today, I think. And this isn't just some academic debate. It's a reality that people are actually grappling with every single day. And I think we need to understand the nuances, the competing perspectives, the lived experiences of those who are most affected by this ideology.
It sounds like it's about acknowledging the human impact of these, ideological shifts. and understanding that this narrative is actually actively shaping the future of India.
Exactly. It's a story that's still unfolding, and there's really no crystal ball that can predict where it will lead. But one thing's for certain, this is far from over.
And as the story continues to unfold, what role do you think we play? Whether we're in India or watching all of this from afar, this is something that really demands our attention, I think. It demands our critical thinking and our willingness to engage with complexity.
I think we really need to move beyond just these, you know, simplistic labels and engage in a much more thoughtful dialogue. It's about recognizing the humanity in everyone involved, regardless of their religious or political beliefs.
And it's also about remembering that India's strength truly lies in its diversity, its long history of pluralism, and its ability to embrace a multitude of voices. And I think that's a legacy worth preserving.
Absolutely. As we move forward, it's crucial to hold on to that vision of an inclusive India where everyone feels a sense of belonging, regardless of their faith or background. That's a vision I think worth striving for.
It's been a really fascinating journey, I think, exploring this rise of Hindu nationalism in India. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, from its historical roots to its current impact on politics and culture and everyday life.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely clear that this ideology has been a hugely transformative force in India. But it's a transformation, though, that's really ignited some intense debate and a lot of introspection. It's raising these fundamental questions about, you know, what it even means to be Indian in the 21st century.
We've seen how it's permeated so many aspects of Indian society, but I'm really curious about the, you know, long-term implications of all of this. Where do we go from here? What does the future hold?
Well, that's the question on everyone's mind, isn't it? And there are really no easy answers. It's impossible to predict the future with any kind of certainty. But one thing is for sure, this story is far from over. It's going to keep unfolding in, you know, complex and often unpredictable ways.
One of the key themes, I think, that's really emerged from all of our discussions is this tension between unity and division. Some would argue that Hindu nationalism is this unifying force, you know, creating a stronger sense of national identity. Others see it as, you know, much more divisive, marginalizing minorities, and really eroding India's pluralistic fabric.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a paradox.
It does, doesn't it? It is a paradox that kind of lies at the heart of this whole issue. There's no denying that the BJP's emphasis on, you know, Hindutva, it has really resonated with a lot of Indians. It's given them a sense of pride and belonging. But it's also undeniable that this has come at a cost. There's this increased polarization and a sense of exclusion for those who don't fit this, you know, kind of narrow definition of what it means to be Indian.
So then how do we even begin to reconcile these, you know, seemingly contradictory impulses?
Mm-hmm.
How do we navigate this really complex terrain and ensure that, you know, India's future is one that really embraces all of its citizens?
Well, that's the challenge, right? That's the challenge that's facing India today. And I think it's a challenge that really demands dialogue, empathy, and this real willingness to engage with differences. It's about recognizing that India's true strength actually lies in its diversity, in its ability to really embrace a multitude of voices and perspectives.
It's about finding a way to create that sense of belonging for all Indians, regardless of, you know, religious or cultural background. It's about fostering that unity, but without sacrificing the richness of, you know, India's diversity.
Exactly. It's about weaving together all those threads of India's, you know, this multifaceted heritage, this tapestry of faiths and traditions and cultures to create a vibrant and inclusive future, a future where those differences aren't seen as threats, but really as strengths.
As we're wrapping up this deep dive, I think that's really the message that we want to leave our listeners with. The rise of Hindu nationalism has been a real defining feature of modern India. But I think it's up to each of us to really shape what comes next. It's about understanding these complexities, engaging in this thoughtful dialogue, and working towards a future that honors India's rich and diverse past, while also, you know, embracing the possibilities of a more inclusive and equitable future.
It's a journey that really does require courage and compassion and this real commitment to building bridges rather than walls. It's a journey that demands introspection and a willingness to, you know, even challenge our own assumptions. And it's a journey that I think is only just beginning.
And we hope this deep dive has equipped you with the knowledge and the inspiration, really, to be a part of that journey.
Keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep striving for a better tomorrow.
Until next time, keep diving deep.